What's up, outsiders? You're gonna notice some things very soon, so we wanted to make an announcement. For our next, first off, I'm here also with who I'm always with, Chaz and Jack. This is Michael, also known as Poet Air, and our Machine Never Blinks episode has been our white whale. We recorded a ton of content, and now we have to record more content, so that's why that episode has been pushed back.
We were surveilled upon, is what happened. We had to cut it short.
The man shut us down.
You'll find out why once it finally comes out.
Yeah.
That's right.
The man shut us
down. Jeffrey, my FBI agent, who's watching through my camera right now, and his NSA agent that's watching him watch me, because if that book taught me anything, it's that no matter who's watching, there's one more person watching. But you'll find out. It's coming.
So we're going to focus on just the Fantagraphics books next. So we got The Machine Never Blinks coming, and then we got Starseeds, which we're going to have Charles Glaubitz on, which will be a lot of fun. We've been talking about that for a while. And then we're going to get to do mostly May, but we're going to edge into June too. We're going to do 6 straight weeks of just manga. We're all big manga fans, and I think particularly all 3 of us have been reading a lot of manga recently, so it's going to be a lot of fun, and we'll be announcing those titles soon. Also, this Sunday, which I know the boys are excited about, this Sunday is the Oscars, and our big fan, outsider, supreme, Riz Ahmed, Riz MC, the hip-hop conscious god, lover of our show, has stated that if he wins an Oscar on Sunday, he is going to come on our episode, which is going to be a double episode of the end off Spurrier after manga of Hellblazer and Alienated. And we're also going to have our guest, Joe Paquette. So Paquette, Ahmed, Spurrier. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Disclaimer,
now,
he's
see,
not
I thought,
actually coming on.
No, see, I thought he said, if I mention you guys in my acceptance speech, I'll be there. But if I don't get it for whatever reason, or I forget to say you guys, just know you're in my heart. We're in his heart, we're in his mind, and eventually in his ears. Somebody out there listening to us, connect us to Riz.
I'm being hopeful that we're gonna get Riz on for that episode. But we're really excited for Manga May. It's gonna be a lot of fun, and I think Jack, you get to have a lot more to weigh in because I think you've read a lot more manga than comics.
Hell yeah. Hey, Michael, why don't you give the people a rundown of what the schedule looks like right now?
Well, we got The Machine Never Blinks, and then Starseeds, and then it'll be Manga May. I don't know the order in that yet because you guys haven't told me what manga you're doing.
Okay.
So
There's just so many to choose from.
FMA.
I know we're going to cover Full Metal Alchemist. We're going to cover 20th Century Boys.
And you know what? I think since we still got some time, it's not quite May yet. It's only the few days before 420 over here in Las Vegas, where I'm at. And probably for you, Jack, in California, too. We should throw this out there. What's a manga that our listeners want to see us cover? Tweet at Outside with a O, Outside the, on Twitter with what manga you want to see us cover. We can't guarantee that we're going to do all the ones that you suggest, but maybe there's going to be a few in there that all of us are intrigued by. That could be fun too.
Why should we read it? Sounds like a lot of fun. Yeah. Getting a rec from you guys would be great. I also think we should post the Discord link again so we can chat with more of you guys on there. Want to talk about Chainsaw Man? Neither of them had an anime yet, which I've kind of been big on my choices. Even though I love like Demon Slayer, which still might end up being one of the episodes because Jack was thinking about picking it, and Jujutsu Kaisen, they kind of have an audience already right now. They're both really popular, but they're both really good manga.
They're both super sick.
Yeah.
Yeah. So is Chainsaw Man. That shit is
Chainsaw
hard
Man's awesome.
All
That'd be a good
97
one to
chapters.
Do since it's about to get a show. It's buzzing.
Is it about to get a
That's
show?
What I heard. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, they've been working on it for a minute. Oh. I think it's Madhouse, too.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, so we should probably cover that.
Yeah.
I'm down. I love it. I don't know if we're going to do with a man and his cat, but I could see that being possible. I haven't asked Chaz yet.
It's possible, but I was kind of thinking maybe Mashal, since that hasn't even gotten the Tankobon treatment yet, and I really want to expose more people to the One Punch Man I Harry really Potter mashup.
That sounds amazing, yeah.
It's so good. Or Kaiju number 8, which I'm fairly certain is going to get its
Tankobon release. Man and his
Cat's just December 8th.
Man and his Cat's a real quick read, right?
Well, it is. Yeah. But it's also... It's hard because you get all teary. Well, I get all teary, so then I'm like, I gotta stop every now and
again. If it's something super short and quick, maybe we could always just like jam in an extra episode here or there.
we'll call it a Chaz and
Chaz and his Cat.
And it'll be my one man review on why these volumes are so good.
And this is how he became a manga show. Yeah. And I'm super pumped to talk about Kaiju number 8. I love that book. It really is like a brother or sister to Dave's book, Jenny Zero. I don't know if he's into manga. I assume he is. Most people read manga. But anyway, it's going to be a lot of fun. I'm going to try to get a few guests on, especially one for 20th Century Boys. He's pretty pumped. I'm reading it. He's a comic book writer, and that's like his favorite work ever, and he's pretty excited that I took his advice. So I'm pretty sure I can finagle him to get on the show and talk with us 3 hours about 20th Century Boys. Yeah, and... It's a really good book. I can't wait for you guys to read it. I'm reading it right now, and I'm hopelessly addicted to it. I haven't read anything else. Can't put it down. It's that old school writing from like 2 decades ago that's just really good serialized writing where you got to know what happens next. But yeah, it's exciting times. And yeah, we're just changing up a little bit, which I think maybe we'll do more is change it up more and not get too stuck in ruts.
Not try to forecast too far.
Yeah, this has been, for me...
Because the weather is always changing.
For me as a new father, it's been very hard. The schedule I made for myself, a month later, I was like, I'm an idiot. It's just hard. It's a lot of work to be a dad and a lot of work, you know, to try to do this show with all these guests and Jack especially.
You make a crazy schedule.
He's done the most work out of all of us. Yeah, that's true. I make it less crazy.
Jack's the MVP right here.
And Jack is the MVP. Let's thank our guest today, Dave Dwanch. We've sometimes been worried about our schedules. We change it around, and he told me you guys are the best because how flexible you are, and you change all the time, and I really appreciate that, which made me feel good because sometimes I feel bad of how we've been handled our scheduling. But if they like that we're not stuck in glue, that's a good thing to know.
It's part of our mission statement.
Jack,
let's not...
That eagle looked so disappointed in me. When you leaned back, I was like... I should not have vaped a little bit before I jumped on, because now that eagle's got
Freedom
it out.
Eagle's
for me.
Coming for you.
It was large. Anything else you guys want to say at the end of the intro?
I'm very excited to talk about today's book.
Yeah,
it's been one of my favorites for a minute.
I'm very excited to put Chaz in the spot because of how much this book threw me off this morning at 6 a.m.
Oh man.
Yeah.
I can't wait to hear what your early morning reactions were to some of these scenes.
I had to hide my tablet from my wife because I didn't want her to open her eyes to some of the scenes that were happening.
It's an obscene book.
What are you reading?
That was the way that I had to try to sell it to Steen. I was like, you gotta read this. And she was like, why? And I was like, just look at this page.
I showed Alexis the first sex scene. She went, they allow that in comics? And I said, oh, yeah. <She's> like, Well, anyhow, outsiders, thank you so much. Remember to send us your manga pics. So, your recs so we can cover
it. Add us on Twitter.
Also, remember to cheer on our big old fan Riz Ahmed tomorrow. Today, actually, it's today, Sunday, the 18th. Make sure you're watching the Oscars and rooting for Riz. Outsiders United. Listener discretion. In 2001, as a response to the terrorist attacks on September 11, President George W. Bush ordered the creation of a super secret team of U.S. Foreign Service agents. The following account is of one such agent, codenamed Omwat, One Man War on Terror. What's up, outsiders? As always, this is Michael, also known as Poet Air. This is our newest episode on Fantagraphics, and we have a very special guest today. But first, let's introduce the two guys that are always at my side.
It's me, Chaz.
Me, Jack, aka Synesthetic.
And we have a very special guest today, writer of Jenny Zero, Cyrus Perkins, and many more. David Dwanch. How you doing, Dave?
Hey, what's going on, everybody?
Very excited. You're here.
My personal favorite, Zombie Prom, Prom of the Dead.
Oh, Prom of the Dead is awesome.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. So, yeah, you know, I've been known to write some gonzo stuff, but this book is the most gonzo thing I've ever read in my life. It's insane.
We had you on.
Michael and I think we got tied up that night, so we didn't have a chance to join in. We're real bummed about that. But when I heard you were coming back, you had picked Terror Assaulter to join in on. So I thought you had read it prior. So you coming in with like super fresh eyes is so exciting to me.
It was, you know, I picked it solely based on the list that you gave me. I picked it solely based on the title because I knew that Brockton would be all over it. I was like, Terror Assaulter? What kind of nonsense is that? I was like, it sounds like a Brockton book. And then Brockton was scheduled to join us. And then his kid surprised him with a surprise visit from college. So he's like, he's tied up this weekend.
I was wondering where he was.
Yeah.
He sent me the
time with his kid.
He sent me the sweetest message, and he was talking about how she was stuck at school because of COVID. So I was like, we can't get in the way of that. That's, you still got to spend time with your daughter.
Yeah, he's a sweet man, and he really does put his family like forward. Like there are certain times of day that I'm not allowed to call or talk to him because he's locked up either writing something, and he has to get the writing out of the way so you go hang out with the family. He's a good stand-up dude. But yeah, he was really, really bummed that he couldn't make it for sure.
So you grabbed it on title alone. Hopefully, yes, not like
that. No idea, right? What you were in for.
So there were so many great moments in this book, but there were also some really, really odd choices.
Very much so. Yes.
There was one panel that I singled out, and I just thought the line itself was genius because a lot of the lines in this are just self-explanatory. It's almost like I'm riding in a car and the dude's riding in a car or whatever.
Yeah, I love the fact that it's written, or it almost seems like it's written by like a kid, which they totally did on purpose. Like it was totally an obvious choice, but it looks like something a kid wrote except for the fact that it's like fucking gnarly and there's like tons of blood and gore and like full penetration.
Well. Yeah.
So this is the panel that I got. Like he goes in at like the Terror Assaulter goes in to get his new wife, who was his old enemy, who just had a sex change, some new clothes. And the line that I picked out was, I want her new woman sex to look good when I dick it. And I was like, what the? And this is like in act four. So that's just like the shenanigans that you get throughout this book, right? It's just crazy.
Okay, so that brings up in my head another line where he's flying. He like kills some terrorists and is like piloting the airplane to land it. And some dude from the airplane is just like having sex with him, and it's like, I love when you gay sex me while you pilot the plane.
One of my favorite line. Parts about
that was my
character, or at least about One Man War on Terror, he doesn't discriminate. He's open to whatever. He's just sexy.
Oh yeah,
it's wild.
Yeah.
Go
ahead, Mike.
I was gonna say that was my first time reading it, and that was my first reaction. You guys are talking about it's kind of like a child wrote it. It was just, that was very sexual and expository. Like everyone's explaining what they're doing. I read this at 6 a.m. next to my wife and was hiding my tablet because I didn't want her to look over at the wrong time and be like, what are you reading? And I'm like, and Chaz, you always joke about we don't know people's proclivities. When we were talking about the famous scene in It, I now question your proclivities because of your love of this book.
Man.
Just saying, I'm just kidding. I'm just joking.
This is like if you want to distill what Terror Assaulter to me feels like, it's like a Skinamax movie after snorting just like the fattest line of like American jingoism. Like it's just like, it's so extremely like, we kill the terrorists. And then he just like, he shoots the guy and then like there's so many scenes where the guy's dead and then it just cuts to him pointing at the body and just shooting it and then up at his face as he's like lit up by all these shots and smoking his cigarette. Like it's just so, it's so insanely over the top, grindhousey that like I can't not love it, man. And I blind bought this out of previews at the time. Like I saw the cover image, right?
Oh, you got put on a short list, oh, by the 100%. Way. You got put
on a list. They don't see my name sometimes and are like, all right, whatever that book is, we got to like put everybody else who buys it on this list too, because this guy is into something weird. But I saw that cover of him just like chopping the guy's head off on the right. Like, and it's like clean, like a rocket, almost like a Tarantino movie. But it had like this action figure build to all the art too, that like, I love the idea of thinking of somebody posing a bunch of action figures and then like drawing it real fast and then like, moving them real like, okay. And then he flips out of the car and then we see him like, like, I don't know. It's just,
it was so, yeah, I was like, I was reading it and I was questioning whether or not I liked it. And that, and it was like, do I like it? No, but do I love it? Yes. So it was like a real weird tug of war in my brain. I couldn't figure out like what about it I liked and what I couldn't stand about it. And I used to do the submission reviews at Action Lab. I was the creative director for years there, right? So we would get some kooky shit. I mean, it was like weird stuff. And so like we got one that was like really, really poorly drawn, and it was like a survival guide in the apocalypse. And it was literally like a manifesto / comic book. It was drawn poorly. I mean, it was like step one, kill a deer. Step two, skin that deer. And it's like, you know, like there was like a checklist of all these things that you needed in this apocalypse. And Jason Martin and I at the time were like, this is either the most genius thing we've ever seen, or it's just insanity. And then we kind of chalked it up to, it was insanity. And then, you know, I read this and I feel like that too, but I think this is genius. Whereas the other thing was insanity, yeah. Right?
I could see the checklist element of it definitely adds to the like manifesto in a way, like in that,
yeah.
Oh man, did he mail us the wrong submission? Like, did he send us the one that was supposed to go to the FBI instead of the comics publisher? But like,
we almost wanted to like publish an anthology of all of the pitches we rejected, because there were so many kooky ones that we were like, you're almost there or you're not close at all. And this was definitely one that was not close at all, but it felt like one of those like hand stapled Xerox books that someone would just hand you at your table and be like, read this. Right. And then you'd be like, you take it home. Like once I didn't get sent, someone dropped off a comic book, or what looked like a comic book to me, and it was just pictures of like women's nether regions photos, and I was all, wow. What in the world, why would you give this to me at a convention? You know, and you're assaulting my senses, much like this book. So yeah,
let's just say it hits in a different way.
It's such a good ride that for an hour after finishing it, I just read about Benjamin Mara. Like I the first book I read by him was Chaz recommended, also Jesus Freak, which I loved, which is just this insane story of Jesus growing up and then kung fu fighting people, which it doesn't even have an ending.
It's writing about wrestling between humanity and divinity, right? Like, how does one person embody both aspects and also fight
a reptilian great
Pontius Pilate with some sweet kung fu moves? So like, yeah.
it's awesome for the fact that it moves along, like you're seeing all these, you know, monuments in his life, and you think it's going to definitely have to go where all Jesus stories go, but it doesn't. It just stops the middle of his life. He's fine, living good, and that kind of writing is a lot of fun.
Like, it's life where things got pretty bad for Jesus. I mean
in the universe they're creating
that last page.
Maybe
right before he had a big dinner with 12 friends.
Before the storm.
I kind of felt like they were going somewhere else though. Like they were writing their own, you know, history, that this is not the Jesus that got crucified.
Like Tarantino style.
Yeah, exactly. Like changing history for the better, their take on it. Cause I mean, that's what I enjoyed by it. And his spin.
Fucking Quentin Tarantino does that all the time. And it makes me not want to watch his movies, changing history.
I agree with that.
Also,
it really makes me angry.
It does. Thinking about like this is from an alternate universe, like somewhere in some multiverse, Tarantino mastered like travel between parallel realities, and he's like, "Hey, other Tarantino, I make movies too. You want my World War II movie? Here you go." And then he's like, "Hell yeah!"
It's about the true history where Hitler died in an explosion.
It's about the real history of that alternate universe's Quentin Tarantino.
I mean, I
yeah, okay, I get behind that.
To me, I feel like that's a much better movie. Like you just make that movie.
It's gonna be Tarantino 10, Tarantino X. The 10 Tarantinos coming together one last time.
Tentinos.
I'm a big film nerd, so I'm a sucker for Tarantino.
So, Michael, yeah. You've been familiar with Mara via art. Because the
you're
familiar with the style, but what coming into his story?
It just made me want to read about the man because it was such a biting take. I know me and Chaz are around the same age. Jack's younger. I imagine Dave around our age. But during after September 11th and all the kind of paranoia and all the stuff going on with George Bush, and it was just Mara's took this to comment on it, and it's such a bizarre but fun and. As Dave said, assaults your senses. Like, I couldn't believe how many sex scenes there were, but then I was just like, wonder what's going to happen next. And it's just, there is so much exposition, but it's such a fun ride that I surrender. I don't, it is kind of like action figures playing as Chaz stated.
So but, one thing that struck me though, too, is I feel like he is a pretty capable artist. Like there is a definite like indie vibe to it, like a zine vibe, but like, I did a little research after reading this cause I had no idea who Benjamin was either. And so I didn't know he went to art school and he learned from Dave Mazzucchelli, the awesome Daredevil artist. I'm like, and his stuff does remind me of Paul Gulacy stuff, which I love old classic Paul Gulacy. But I don't know how much of this is intentionally bad to be bad.
Like how much is he leaning into the sort of like grindhousey translated foreign movie vibe? Like,
well, yeah, based off of the, like just the writing and stuff, I'd say that it definitely bled over into all parts of the book, the intentional badness.
Yeah.
Are we going to get into like story, like plot too? Guys, can I spoil
this? Yeah, definitely.
This is one of those books where it's almost impossible to spoil because everything that can happen in it is going to happen. And there's no way we could ever talk about all of it comprehensively. This book is filled with so much that I know, Dave, you're going to say something like you're going to say this panel caught me and I'm going to not even have thought about it in a certain way, probably just because I was thinking about two panels before, or I was so captivated by like two AKs hooked onto a motorcycle as it rides off this ramp that's like out of nowhere to shoot a car. And what felt like one of my favorite parts about this book too, and it's part of that intentionally bad almost, or like the movie feel that I'm trying to get through, is like there's like a repeat almost, like a stock footage feel occasionally, because there'll be a scene of him shooting at the car, like bang 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 bang, and then it'll cut to the car, ting 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 ting, and then it'll be him bang 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 bang, which is every great action movie ever, right? You just shoot a car enough and it'll blow up, and then eventually chi-chi blows up all crazy. And then when it happens again later, we get a different car, like full explosion. But it felt like the scene of like bang 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 bang, bing 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 bing, bang 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 bang, bing bing bing, was like he just took those pages and went, shaky cane style, I'll just put them over here too. So I like it.
So am I left to believe that the U.S. government is run by a cabal of lizards in this book?
They're like,
yeah, definitely.
Ku Klux Klan lizards, dude. Yeah. All in like fucking Klan robes with the Illuminati eye on them.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Like a gator beak coming out of his mask.
I thought at that point, because I read it in chunks because it does assault your senses and you kind of have to step away from it and, like have a cigarette or whatever. But like, right. Yeah. You're right. Yeah. But yeah, I read that third act and I just thought, did we get a twist where he becomes the bad guy? Like he's, you know what I mean? And then it goes right. Then it jumps into the future in act four, where the terrorists have won. Right. And to me, that was the most jarring leap in anything I've ever read in my life. I was just like, did I miss something? Like, was I high when I read issue three or part three?
Cause we come right hot off that airplane scene in part two, right? Or is part two?
Oh, it was hot.
So it gets that. So the whole, their terrorists hijack a plane and terrorist alters on the plane. just chilling, just reading his newspaper and smoking while everybody announces everything they're doing in the way that this book is great. And everybody's saying exactly how they're feeling or doing. And all the stewardesses and I guess flight attendants. Are stewardesses? I don't know. Males? Just flight attendants. All the flight attendants on the plane are like,
there's a great line, being a flight attendant,
just bonding over him. And then Terror Assaulter just indiscriminately takes out whoever on this plane.
He like shoots passengers. Yeah. People are like, hey, shoot passengers.
And I was like, what is happening? Right? Like, I presumed that in the beginning, maybe this is a bit naive of me, but he's killing terrorists, right? Like, he's everybody that he's getting
just kills
is,
anyone.
Like, all those dudes, the ninja from the exploding car, the... See? Like I said, like, we're never going to be able to cover everything in this book. So I thought he's killing all these terrorists, and then on this plane, he's just opening up into whoever has the inopportunity or inopportune moment of saying, hey, are you supposed to be shooting everybody? Brap. Like, I'm going to the front of the plane. Like, whoa.
Taking it back just a minute to that, to the ninjas and exploding car. So in the first story, he's just like taking people out and a car flies through the window and explodes with ninjas like coming out of it. And he just goes, no, there's ninjas. And I'm like, dude, this was totally written by like a little kid.
I wouldn't have known they were ninjas necessarily. He was fighting with guys in suits before. Maybe these were just the next.
They were in ninja suits.
Yeah, but maybe they were there for ninja business. Not ninja. Well, I guess ninja business is killing. But like, maybe they were there for some other investment opportunity. And Terror Assaulter happened to be there too.
So obviously the way he's written this, it's a choice. Have you read anything else he has specifically written? Because I know Casey did Jesus Freak, right? So that's not his writing. Have you read anything? Like, is it all kind of, I don't want to say basic, but you know what I mean? Like juvenile, I guess. Yeah. I don't know.
I'd say a little bit. Like, yeah. I've read Night Business, which he did before this one. And it's at times, I don't want to say better. As far like more constructed, not as juvenile, but like content wise is similar as far as like the sensationalism, I guess, of it. Like, it's about like gritty crime streets and the like one pimp that keeps his girls like protected. Like, instead of the hooker with a heart of gold, it's like a pimp with a heart of gold who like beats up people that like do bad stuff to him, right? And then like, also, there's this drug that gives people superpowers. So it's equally kind of all over the place like this as far as, like, the story's sort of sprawl. But I think the language of it, there's a little bit less of that. I'm doing this. You just chop me in the
right
leg. Well, I was going to say, one. Every time they do that, sort of, I get a little chuckle. I'm like, because I think in my mind, if he didn't, I would have been like, oh, he chopped his neck. Oh yeah, kick him in the face. Like, I definitely am guilty of watching an action movie and like be like, hell yeah, oh, get him, oh, duck, oh, get the kick, watch out, the machete.
Oh, totally.
Maybe watch The Raid Redemption. That's a million machete fights in like an hour and a half, and every time I'm just like, duck, back, oh no, watch out, kick it away.
Or, like, I'll be playing, like, a game, a video game, and, like, shoot someone and be like, haha, yeah. I shot you.
So, like, I'm talking this way still into my early 30s, but I think Night Business, though, definitely has a little bit less of that expositoriness.
Okay.
For sake of it. But, yeah, it's pretty wild in this book. So that the plane is saved by the Terror Assaulter, ultimately, half of it, I guess, and Terror Assaulter gets a little bit of action in more ways than one, with some, like, just some wild full penetration, which we had seen earlier in the book anyways, but not like this. And I don't think I've ever seen anything like it in comics.
Yeah. The first time I was shocked. Yeah. The second time I was like, oh, okay, this is the book. But now I get it. And then it was like, oh, there's a lot of fucking in this book. I mean, it goes and goes and goes, like, man. Holy shit.
Almost two. Or thereabouts.
Yeah.
And it only increases in craziness, just like the plot of the book. But yeah, so hot off that, he's led to like meet the brass, because his two big missions is like, you did it. And he gets $20 billion, I think, in his, no, $20 billion? $200 billion?
$200 billion
in his bank account. But ultimately, like, it felt like he comes to realize, like, oh, I didn't really rescue people, I don't think. Like, I don't want to say there's a turn for his character.
Like, accidentally,
but like, when we meet him again and the terrorists have won, he's just going out trying to live regular life while also killing terrorists left, right, and center, which, like, was pretty wild to watch him just walk through a store and be like, roll, pow, 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 like, ugh, nuts.
It's also interesting, I gotta say, that they're in this story, there are so many terrorists on U.S. soil. Like, I feel like after 9/11, really, there wasn't any terrorist action in the States for the most part. There's like a few little bombings here and there. I mean,
the government at the time and news would have led me to believe otherwise. Anyway.
Yeah, I mean, totally. That's what they wanted you to think. But like, if you actually looked at like how much happened according to the news and stuff, unless it was all top secret, like, it doesn't seem like seems like they were just super overhyping
no
it.
Way
like,
if terror assaulter or if the terror assaulter team or even just one man war on terror himself Omwat existed, there's no way to keep a man like that top secret.
Yeah, there's no way to keep him out of the news.
Clearance, like, but like 100% be like on there all the time with his let's just say catch line, where he just says the thing he wants to say anyways.
Yeah, I was pretty young after like the 9/11 and during like the early war on terror, but I always even then felt like I was like, they're totally just blowing this out of proportion and there's like not really very much terrorist activity in the United States at all.
I think it was
this comic would lead you to believe otherwise.
Well, yeah, I think that was just the uniqueness of that situation, right? I mean,
yeah.
I don't know. I mean, it's tough. It's tough because, like, if it wasn't this before that, it was Satanism. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, there was always some kind of manufactured fear, right?
100%.
Always. It keeps people in line.
Yeah. And in that regard, this felt topical for today. I reading this, I was like, well, okay, I totally get it. And it still applies. It's
does
weird.
Have, like, definitely. Strange,
post-Satanism.
I don't want to say alt-right relevance, but it does have like a strange, like, I could see where somebody would start reading this and be like, oh, fuck yeah. This agent is like fucking killing and fucking and like, this is everything that America should be. This hardcore fucking license to kill motherfucker right here. And then it would get to the part where he goes underground and the lizard people tell him what to do. And they'd be like, wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute. He's supposed to fight this guy. Or something isn't right here. Fellas, anybody want to fill me in? Okay, maybe.
Mary's a trans ex-terrorist.
don't ever use the words fill me in when the terror assaulter is around, because he will fill me in.
Anyone.
But I think that's a good call out though, Chaz. I think that like this does feel like it was written by a kid who is staging action figures. There's a term, it's called macho colado, and it's a Mexican term where you're so manly you just circle back, or you could have sex with men and women, it doesn't matter because you're so manly, you just circle right back around to like macho colado. So that's kind of like the terror assault, right? He's macho colado, he's just like all that is man, right? So yeah,
kill and fuck 24/7.
Yeah,
but so wheeling back just a second, is the you're saying Satanism would be the boogeyman. We were just reading The Machine Never Blinks, and it was talking a lot about how the Red Scare and how the communists were the boogeyman, and then it got like taken over by terrorists, like as the boogeyman. Like it went from communists to Iraqis and Iran and Syria.
No matter what, it's always
good. And they're really not a threat to us. Like, we could take care of it when it's a problem and then just go steal all their oil, but like it's used as a tool for submission of the people.
I've found I didn't think I'd see this, but there's a lot of themes between our last three Fantagraphics book. With this, The Machine Never Blinks, and then in Starseeds, the main bad guys are people in cloaks and hoods with Illuminati signs that are plotting against our protagonists. I mean, they almost look the same, so it's
but
like,
are they racist reptilians?
they're definitely racist. They're not really, they're reptilian like. They're not just lizards though. They're basically like people who have given their souls up to like work for one huge reptilian. There is one huge reptilian god that's kind of the head of the Illuminati. There isn't like several of them. Yeah.
And I'm as curious about starseeds now as I was. Well, I had already read this one, but like I'm wondering where the parallels are really going to be drawn.
That's the great thing about Fantagraphics, is why I know me and Chaz love them, is they print, they put so much stuff out, and it's so like Terrorist Altar, it's so unique and original, and they just, it does stuff that a lot of books, you know, you won't be seeing even at some indie companies. They go all out, which is a lot of fun with them. With Mara, when I read about him today, which I think kind of explains, you know, the very sexual nature of this, he used to do comic strips for Playboy, which I'd be intrigued to read those. Yeah, Playboy, New York Times, Rolling Stone, and Vice.
Well,
so
hold on a second. I can see
if Vice politics. Yeah.
Doesn't everybody read Playboy for the articles? So that's like clearly not just about sex. I can imagine if you were like, I read Playboy for the comics, it's because I want to see the fucking macho shoot 'em up action. Definitely not the sex stuff. Keep that out of my men's magazine.
I love it. You'd be like, yeah, I buy Playboy for the comic books.
Did you just buy some comic books? The Michonne origin story was published in a Playboy issue before it got printed on like a free comic book day. Yeah, no shit. It got published in Playboy, and I remember people being like, oh, fuck, can we order that from your store? And I was like, no, man, I think you got to just go to a store.
My ex was like a artist, and she got into collage for a while and was given like this big ass box of old Playboys from like 40 years ago, 50 years ago, whatever. I actually like went through them, and there's not all that much like nudity in them. And there's a lot of like articles about like watches and like suits and like how to meeting and like fishing. And they're actually really cool. I read a bunch of articles out of them.
Yeah, it's like the Sharper Image catalog with nipples. You know, like that's what Playboy is. Yeah.
Well, it's like how to be a man in the 40s or 50s, but with boobs also.
Well, right. When I was in high school, the most Playboy I've ever been around, I was in high school, and my friend Nathan Zach's older brother had porn everywhere in his room, and we were like 14 in Playboy. So we'd sneak into his room and he was gone. And just, I remember that about Playboy. There'd be like a naked woman in a very like professional way. It's not dirty or slutty in Playboy. They look nice. They're naked. And then there's a 5-page article on San Francisco, which is there. You look at like, oh, I get to read about SF, where they talk about places to eat and stuff like that. So right, yeah, it's definitely, is it still around? Is Playboy still going? I think it might be all digital now, right?
Articles.
No, it's still around, I'm pretty sure. Oh. Isn't it all like, I thought now it was all sexual.
I mean, maybe, but like, really? Not as far as photos.
No, I'm going to find out right now.
I didn't mean to sound so excited right there. Right? Really?
It's still going? More sexual, like,
I'm going to order a subscription right now.
We've ruined you, Dave, with Terrorist Altar. We've changed your whole, I got to get it. Where's it going to be?
You were saying that, like, I can't remember exactly what you were saying, but it made me think, like, I think it's awesome that Fantagraphics, like, got this. I mean, you were kind of saying this earlier, Dave, but Fantagraphics got this pitch for Terror Assaulter and, like, saw the pages and stuff and were like, you know what? Yeah, let's do it. And, like, let him make this. Like, you'd think most people wouldn't be down, but I'm so glad they were, because it's fucking awesome.
So Jenny Zero is super rated R, and I mean, it's nothing like this. Like, it's gonzo in its own way, but there's nudity in it, and we were like is anyone gonna let us publish this in this day and age? And it's pretty tasteful, but it's like, you know, it's gotten to the point where we were like, there's no way in hell anyone's gonna want this book ever. And it, you know, luckily Dark Horse and they haven't really given us too many notes. I mean, they let us do what we want to do, which is great. But there was one scene in there. There was a bottom half shot that I covered up with a balloon. I was like, I can't have this. We can't have Bush in this, guys.
Oh,
like,
come on.
Hey, I'll send you the
page. You Terror Assaulter, you're going to go back and change it.
I'll send you the unlettered pages, and you'll see, like, my word balloon is classy, you know, classily placed. But yeah.
Like, that's too funny. David's leaf? No, David's name.
Yeah.
Who's got the leap? I don't know. But yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, but yeah, I mean, good on them for letting him do what he wants to do on this book, because I was shocked. Like, not that I'm a prude by any stretch of the imagination, yeah. But yeah. But even I was like,
you'd be talking about this book with us.
Well, I was like, how did this get made? I mean, I really, and because I didn't know who Ben Morrow was, I was like, well, you know, I guess the guy is pretty famous. But like, this is the kind of stuff that like could jeopardize your jobs unless you're that guy. You know what I mean? Yeah. If you get known for it, you're fine, right? But if I did this, you guys, I'd be crucified like, within one week.
I can imagine. And yeah. Even crazier, looking up on it, he actually self-published this originally. He did all of it under his comic banner, Traditional Comics. Yep. Fantagraphics then re-released it for a bigger audience. So not only did they accept it, done. They read it and were like, we want to publish this.
Right.
So, that must have been how it got done, because I can't imagine like, well, I mean, I can't imagine, but I imagine it would be like really difficult to send this in and have them be like, yeah, let's print it. But if it's already all like out there in the world and they see it and they're like, wow, this is actually like, really
I would
fucking sick like that.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way guys, to circle back around, Playboy did close its doors down. There's an article.
To think about our fondest Playboy memories, I guess. Yeah. Or maybe let's just take a quick second to think about that time we talked about Playboy a few minutes ago. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, ever make the jack off sounds? Here's your moment of silence.
I always wanted to go to a fucking party at the mansion because I like knew some people who had DJ'd parties there, and they're supposed to be like super fun. But
it sounds not gonna happen. Yeah. I don't know. It's probably like I've met some of my heroes before. I'd probably be super stoked to go, and then I'd be like, "This is just not what I expected it to be." And then I gotta go. I'm not having good conversations here. So, and look at me. I'm not gonna be popular at the Playboy Mansion, guys.
You're gonna be with it, yeah.
I don't know.
I know some fucking comic book dudes that used to go to the parties there. Fucking Mafood and Crossland and those guys used to always go to the Playboy parties.
That's wild.
Wow, that's so weird. Yeah. How good of you do you have to be as a comic book person to get invited to the Playboy Mansion, though? You got to be on another level.
True.
Yeah. I think I would have been the worst at what you were saying you did at Action Lab, like reading those pitches and stuff like that. Like, or maybe the best, because I would have read something like this and thought like exactly what Fantagraphics thought. Like, this needs a bigger audience. Fucking like yesterday.
Well, but you know, like that's the interesting thing though too, is it's like you're curating a book or books in a lineup, right? Like clearly this would never if it had ever gone to Action Lab, I'd be like, there's no way in hell we could do this. Not even on the Danger Zone side where it's all rated R, would we have done it.
Maybe in Danger Zone. Like I've seen some wild stuff under that line, but okay, maybe not wild.
Maybe
not
as wild as this, I know, Jason's still running that show over there. I'll send this book to him and be like, if this came in as a submission, would you have taken it? Like, I'd be very curious, because I kind of handled the all ages stuff for the most part while I was there.
Damn.
But I did, you know, I was in the review for everything. So, yeah. I mean, I would love to hear if he would take it. But yeah, I mean, good on Fantagraphics for doing it. But it seems like they're able to do whatever they want because they're Fantagraphics, right? I mean...
You bring home enough Eisners, right? And then you just carte blanche, I guess.
Right.
You're getting
right.
I mean, yeah, I feel like it's the premise almost of their whole business to be the outsider vibe and print, you know, anything. Did anyone else think this is like a brilliant part of writing on Mara? Is when you see that court scene originally and he's going to court and getting sued for him taking care of the child, I immediately went back to the first story in this book when he said, "I'm going to ejaculate inside you now." And I thought, that's the girl who got pregnant. It's going to come back. And instead, it's some agent that was a man that got turned into a woman and cloned his son. And those kind of, I really feel like those, like we've said in tipping, because that's not what I expected at all. I was sure it was going to be that girl from the beginning.
You know what's weird about that too is like everything is all the dialogue is like matter of fact stuff. You're right. I'm shooting you now or whatever. That courtroom scene actually was like overwritten, like it totally was different. I was like, this is actually a courtroom scene. It's not like, you know, that kind of matter of fact dialogue that he was using in that. And I was like, well, maybe he's definitely making choices here, because I think he's probably a pretty good writer, you know what I mean? Like, I'm very curious to know about more of his stuff.
I feel like you can tell if someone's a good writer through bad stuff, if it's like bad but you still want to read it.
Right.
And you can tell they did it on purpose and that they're actually a good writer. Like,
or they're insane.
Actually, it's bad because it's bad. We probably wouldn't have ended up reading it, you know?
Yeah. Or they're insane. Or they're insane, though, too. Like, there is that, like that, you know.
Sometimes insanity's infectious. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, you're like, where? Because you're the whole time you're reading this book, you're like, where the hell is this gonna go? And by the way, the last page.
Yeah.
What in the fuck did I read on that last page? I was like, is that like King Arthur? Like the ghost of King Arthur in there? It was really weird.
Like, I'm gonna look back at that page now.
Who was that man with the sword? I have the same.
Like every girl, like now he's gonna go on his Grail quest or something. Like his what I kind of almost picked up from it, and this is gonna sound wild. Because it's so much deeper than I think anything this book presents. Because after he just whoops that guy's ass for stealing the parking spot that he wanted, he really whoops him. I mean, like, he kicks him straight up into the air and then slaps him into the ground like an anime. Like, I half expected him to cough blood afterwards. And his wife, the other agent turned woman, wife of his, is like, he's a community leader. He turns and he looks and he takes off his glasses and it's like the scales fall off his eyes and he's like, I've become what I hated most, a terrorist. And now he's got this, like, right. Kingly quest of, like, I gotta go get my fucking, like, terror assaulterness back. I gotta go fight who really deserves it.
I mean, yeah, I'm glad that you got that out of that, because I was just like, I don't know. But I'm also really hungover, and I just finished it this morning, so yeah. I don't know.
Well, yeah, it's a wild panel to end.
I thought it was some Illuminati thing or some kind of Freemason reference. I don't know, but I was like, who is that man with the sword? Is this someone that inspired him to do all the things he's doing? It was, yeah, I did not get what you said, that he was became a terrorist, which is a really cool way to look at it.
Like,
beat up a community leader.
No problem killing indiscriminate henchmen and terrorists all around the country. Seemingly no problem with killing people that are just in his way. but the minute he beat up this person who's a community leader, he stops and is like, whoa, I gotta look at this sunset. You know what I mean? Like, I just gotta take a second to reevaluate my life almost. I don't know.
I just love the fact that, like, he went in to that office and, like, found the guy who was, like, an ex-terror assaulter turned terrorist and, like, put him in jail, and then it just cuts to them in a courthouse and it's like, we're married now. And he's like, I got a gender reassignment when I was in jail and we have a clone son that's made of your DNA. And they're just married for the rest of the book.
Also, that other agent's code name is Freedom Warrior Champion. That's fucking awesome. Like, he could release a dozen of these books, each one following a different terror assaulter, and I would pick up everyone. Like, there's no doubt.
I mean, we know you're on the watch list already, Chaz. We know.
Anybody out there listening that can make this happen, Ben, I'm looking at you through this camera, through the future, through your ears, maybe. Keep making terror assaulters, because I want them. I want more stories in the little Bible terrorist what too. Like,
I don't know. I almost feel like this is the perfect amount of terror assaulter. Like, more might be just like too much and get like diluted.
Or he's just begun and it's just gonna get more graphic and more veiny. Yeah. And, you know, like, fingers and buttholes, everybody. That was the one that I was like, how's he gonna up the ante in this sex scene? Oh, finger in the butt. Yeah, totally.
I still think the craziest one was when he was flying the airplane and, like, fucking a dude in the butt.
Yeah, that was crazy. Off his
penis. And jerking him off while landing the plane. Yeah. And then simultaneous orgasms. Yeah, it's... The book's crazy.
While flying a plane, it was so hot.
No matter what.
That line still is just the best one in the book, in my opinion.
I feel like if anybody doesn't really believe that this book exists, it sounds like we're just making up so much random bullshit right now.
Yeah, like, we picked out a bunch of words out of a box. We shook it up before the episode and just pulled this shit out. And we're like, okay, let's make an episode about that.
Screen penetration, gay sex. Go. You got to talk about that now.
Yeah.
It's like, when are they going to make a movie out of this?
You know what's so funny is, like, I always look at stuff like this. I'm like, could this be animated? Could this be anything? Could it be on, like, you know, Cartoon Network and at midnight or whatever. And I'm like, the answer is no. You can't just do it. You're
getting pretty intense now. I could see this on like a HBO Max under the Adult Swim imprint with it highly edited.
If this was broadcast anywhere, the next day Twitter would literally be on fire.
Yeah,
there would be a. It would be all you'd see is trending as terror assault.
I've always wondered if there'll be a point where like HBO or someone will start putting out like shows or movies with like actual full penetration sex scenes instead of just like seeing somebody's back and they're like moving around.
I would say Pepsi Challenge someone that's listening to animate this old Marvel style where you just take it and just barely animate it and that would be amazing.
You guys remember old, was it Cartoon Network, maybe Adult Swim also, but that Minora Team cartoon where it was like
saw that,
but like the style of it was so good, like it was like that Kirby-esque like super choice look, but content not terrific, except that they battled like racist Solomon Grundy who's like a country club member, and then there was like all-seeing eye was like the head bad guy. So it's basically all these conspiracy theories and racist things, but
I like the look of it because I mean you're right, it does look like Kirby just got real fucked up and high and made this thing. But yeah, it's good. Like it looks
in
good.
In that style,
I think it
could exist as an animated feature for sure.
We can make it happen. Someone get Mara on the phone.
Show them how good it could look.
Oh yeah, that is cool.
Definitely have to be like independently published if this ever became.
It'll be a cool listener. Maybe we got a sweet animator out there. And we're not asking you to
full
penetration sex.
Oh, I meant an official one would have to be independently published. I can't see anybody picking this up for like an animated thing just because it's so Netflix. Fucking graphic.
Can I go off a tangent real quick on what Dave said about Jack Kirby being high? I mean, if you've read a lot of old Jack Kirby, can we just touch on the fact that Jack Kirby was definitely eating acid?
Oh, yeah.
Like, there's no question. He was eating acid like all the time. I can't wait till the photos come out where he's like with Mary Pranksters in the Grateful Dead. And he's just got like a beard. Is that Jack Kirby?
I mean, like when Jack Kirby, when he got to DC, he was like, I'm going to do whatever the fuck I want. And I'm going to be high when I do it. Like and all of that stuff is amazing. I mean, like you look back and you're like, I mean, he created so much of that stuff that they're going to start reusing, right? Like, I can't wait. It's going to be great.
I mean, being the fact that he was in entertainment in the 80s, then there's a more than likely chance he was, like, sniffing blow. I mean...
Yeah.
I mean, the New Gods is definite acid. There's
book writers, comic writers, people on TV, you know? There's entertainment, which is plagued with the stuff.
The world is so detailed, though, Dave. Sorry to cut you off. Kirby created, and then it's even now. Like, it sucks. The New Gods movie isn't going to happen because.
Did that get axed?
Yeah, they axed that, and then I'm trying. They axed two things, but yeah, they axed that, and then Tom King, and then what's the director's name again? I can't remember the director's name. They made a statement. They're working like 2 years on it, but.
Eddie Jenkins. Somebody else. Somebody that just did something pretty big, right?
Yeah, she's done a lot of big movies. She did the Wrinkle in Time.
It'll come.
Made
back,
a movie
I'm
out of
sure.
it.
Yeah,
I imagine a lot of
is
the
it good?
Things.
Like Ava DuVernay. Sorry, Ava DuVernay. Sorry to forget her name.
A little bit of Snyderverse thumbprint on all of them, right? Just for light consistency, right? You could Aquaman it and sort of take what they started and then water it in a totally different way and make it something. Totally different and exciting, but like they still probably all had a little bit of that, and now that the Snyder cut's out and we can all stop talking about it, that's probably right, like you gotta cancel it and start fresh.
I see that because it's a little bit too much dark side and a lot of those same characters, which Ava's in Tom's vision probably would have been very different than Snyder's vision, and maybe that's why they pushed it back because they didn't want to confuse audiences.
A Wrinkle in Time, has 2 stars on IMDb.
I believe it.
Can I throw something out there? The only comparable thing that in other media that I've seen in this, what comes to mind is Vincent Gallo's Brown Money. But Jack, that's the closest thing you'll get to like full sex happening in a movie. And I remember going to see that with my friend's older brother that had the Playboys and the porn. He was like,
So
watch Buffalo 66.
It wasn't you and your friends. It was like, hey, can we go see this Brown Bunny movie? Yeah, and then your friend's older brother was like, I got you guys. I'll get you in. He was probably like, you all want to see this movie? It's going to be fucking crazy. And you were like, oh, okay.
He had us watch Buffalo 66 a lot. Buffalo 66, which I really like. And I saw it young when he showed it to me. I thought it was cool. So we were excited. We didn't even know about there's a blowjob in the movie. Chloe Sevigny, the actress, gives Vincent Gallo a blowjob. They were together at the time to the very end of the movie. So we were just like, yeah, I get to see the new movie. We're from Vincent Gallo. We love Buffalo 66. And then while we're on the way to the theater, my friend Nate's older brother, was like, oh, by the way, guys, there's a blowjob in this movie. And we went, what? Like, he's like, a real one. And we're just sitting there like, oh my, oh wow, that's crazy. And then the whole movie, I'm not kidding, is just Vincent Gallo driving. It starts out with a 25-minute shot of him riding a motorcycle around just taking laps with his motorcycle, and then he drives for 15 minutes, gets to a town, talks to a girl at a coffee shop, drives for 25 minutes, talks to a girl for 5 minutes, drives for 25 more minutes till he gets to a hotel, blowjob happens, and then he realizes his girlfriend died 5 years ago and he's just jerking off alone, and then the movie ends. That is the Brown Bunny, right? Just being there. What was
like what in that? It drives. Like, it would end
yeah, pretty him much. That's escaping. How the movie goes.
That's pretty wild. I was gonna say Ken Park, the Larry Clark movie.
Ken Park also.
That's pretty close to this as far as sex goes, I guess, but not in anywhere near as violence. But
that is a ringing endorsement right there. I love it. They should put that on the next printing, like a little pull quote.
Chad Simons of Outside the Pages says it's like Ken Park, but not with the violence, more with the sex.
I love it. That's great. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I do want to see this done Marvel 60s style animation. I think it would be fucking amazing. And I don't think it would be that hard to do at all. I mean, right? Yeah. They did it back then. And they didn't have computers, so yeah.
C-Lab 2021 style, in a way. Like, just move the mouse, sort of move where they need to. The way that this book feels movement-wise, the way that Mara portrays movement anyways, feels static in that sense of, like, up across a page almost, like, or here we are, here
like your action figures,
even the sound effects. I definitely am guilty also of making that whoosh sound when they're sliding the blade, when he's like moving the blade around and he's like, I'm fast with this knife, whoosh, 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 whoosh. I'm doing it right now for everybody. That's my Foley work. If anybody in Hollywood is interested, I'm ready to provide sound effects, whether it's guns, bap, 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 bap. That was a bad one. Don't count that one, guys. This is a bad idea. Knives in the air.
On a real note, I hella want to get into doing sound design for sound effects for movies and shit. That would be so fun if you ever see how they do it. They like build all these crazy contraptions and shit for some of the sounds.
Yeah.
Like, I saw one where a dude had like fucking like 100 bicycle wheels that he'd like hit with metal sticks and it would make like these machine sounds. And I was like,
that is awesome.
Like, yeah, I was I worked on a video game once, and the sound dudes, they're just locked in a booth, like getting everything perfectly right. It's like a soundproof environment, and they're just making noises to load into the game, and they're constantly recording everything. They just have the recorders with them, and then they're just like constantly the sound. Let's try and capture that, and then they just have libraries of sound. It's pretty rad.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I've somewhat done that myself for my music, but not to the extent that they would. Something I learned recently is broken bones breaking in movies is them breaking. It's usually like breaking carrots. Oh, yeah. Or like celery.
You know how much salad they made during Steven Seagal's stuff? So much. That's why everybody was so into like salads in the like mid like late 90s, is because they just kept like, fucking all these broken bones. We got to sell some of this. Make salad hot.
Make salad hot.
So sometimes I'll hear a bone breaking in a movie and be like, that's totally celery. I can hear that.
Why am I
like,
so hungry?
Just imagine celery breaking. And I'm like, man, that kind of ruined the scene for me.
Why do I want ants on a log so bad?
Actually,
oh man,
I like the new term hot salad. By the way, make hot salad. That's actually, I mean, this book. There's a lot of hot salad being tossed in this book. Oh my god, that's so good. That's great. Oh man. So yeah. By the way, you said it earlier that we can stop talking about the Snyder Cut, but I'm a little bummed because I liked
it. Let's bring it back up.
I was like, man, they teed up like they basically put a blueprint right at the end and just said, take this and make the rest of the DC universe happen, and they're not going to do it. That just drives me insane.
So, I have a small theory on that, and I exposed, I did a little bit. Well, not a small theory. I thought that you take that end credit scene, right? The nightmare tease, and you put it at the beginning of the movie where it belongs, and have Batman waking up from that dream, right? And then the events of the movie are so cool because at one point Batman has that big choice to make of like, we got to bring Superman back, but I had this nightmare that like he could be corrupted and turned into a force for evil because he's so fucking strong. And then when he chooses to bring him back, there's that choice for hope, which lightens up the whole rest of the world, right? Any criticism of like the darkness could be eased just right there. And then you get the cool Superman right back, and he fights for a little bit. It reinforces Batman's paranoia, but then ultimately comes back around, saves the day. They could all work together. And then it wouldn't have like felt so like, why are you leaving all this on the table? Like, why are you doing that
right kind of thing? Well, or I guess we could just play the Injustice games and be like, okay, that's the sequel to these movies, right? Or that movie.
I'm not out to yell at it either. I'm not mad or anything.
I enjoyed it, except for that part. Like, I really enjoyed all the movie. I thought the chemistry between the leads was way better with Snyder's version because they all got backstories. Like, Flash felt more like a character. I really cannot believe they cut that Flash scene where he meets Iris in that slow-mo scene. Like, yeah, it's a really good scene where I'm like, when they were cutting it, why did they cut this? Because that could easily fit into Whedon's vibe that he was going for. So some of those decisions were boggling to me because his stuff had a lot of, you know, all the make it a film, kind of what they did with Batman vs. Superman 2, all the extended cuts, there's way more story that they just dropped. But the end, I could not vibe with.
There were eight endings to it too,
specifically. That's what I'm also upset about.
The Injustice World one is the one that I had issues with, and it was just, and it's mostly still just, you know, I think Jared Leto is a good actor. I just don't really dig his portrayal of Joker, and I don't know if that was any, it was definitely different than what he did in Suicide Squad, but it seemed like a lot. I don't know. It just kind of threw me off. I don't know if it's really, that's not really on Snyder, but just that long Joker scene just kind of, I don't know, but it wasn't for me.
I think like in a perfect world where Snyder got to finish the movie that he made, we would still have the same exact movie that Whedon gave us, because there was too much corporate fuckery going around on that movie, you know? And like, they were like, yeah, and it's got to be, you know, we have to make a 2-hour movie. How do you make a 2-hour movie when you have 5 hours? You got to cut a lot of stuff, right? So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm glad that we got what we got, but, you know, it wouldn't be that.
So, I still haven't watched it. I've gone back and forth on if I want to or not. So, I'm going to express that my opinion is that besides, like, Suicide Squad and Birds of Prey and, of course, like, the Batman trilogy, everything else DC's done has been kind of blood juice.
Wait, and are you talking about the upcoming Suicide Squad or David Ayer's Suicide Squad?
The first one and the upcoming one I'm stoked on. Whoa. And I'm stoked on the new Batman.
I'm learning a lot about Jack today.
Those are all good.
Suicide Squad. I didn't know that one before. The Mandalorian.
I like Suicide Squad.
That one, or...
No, I'm saying I like Suicide Squad.
That's what's surprising to me.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So I love Suicide Squad, Birds of Prey, the Batman trilogy. I'm stoked on the new Batman, but pretty much everything else that DC has done has been pretty butt juice, in my opinion. So I was like, do I really want to see this new Justice League movie or the Snyder Cut Justice League movie? Because people talk about it, and the way they talk about it makes it seem like, oh yeah, it's so much better than the really shitty movie. So does that make it a good movie, or does that just make it a better version of a movie that was shitty that they wanted to be good?
Like, yes.
Yes. Me on Twitter, maybe I'll watch it, but for now, I'm going to save myself three hours of disappointment.
Yeah, 4+, my friend. Yeah.
4 hours of disappointment. I'm just going to save myself from that. Unless you guys get on Twitter and nag me about it, then I guess my hands are tied. So
for 4 hours.
Do it.
That's one of my biggest complaints, I think, about it, like when I go longer thinking about it, is that it takes the 4.5 hours to be good. You know what I mean? Like, if there is a way to tighten it up, I'd
love. I really wish that DC movies were good, because the comics are great. I just don't know why the cinematic universe is what it is.
Like Dave was saying, like, there's this great blueprint at the end, and there's these great like things peppered in throughout the movie. All this great stuff. I've wanted to see the Bat Tank from Dark Knight Returns. Like, all this stuff that's cool about the DC universe, and they just throw it in here and then say, like, we're done. Thanks, guys. We got it in before we left.
I mean, I think that, like, there's, like, if I were Warner Brothers, I would just hire Feige. I would be like, hey, how much does Marvel pay you? We'll double it. Just come on over here and develop our stuff. Because at least...
make our movies watchable.
Well, I mean, and be consistent about it, right? And have a vision and have everything tied together the way it needs to, because that's what Marvel and DC Comics are. You're right. It's all it's a collection of characters in a universe, right?
Composed of many threads.
That's why Marvel works, and I think a lot of it had to do with us nerds being excited, because someone like all of us, I'm assuming, have read comics since we were kids. When they did that with Iron Man and made the connected universe like the comics, it was awesome. It was like, this is just like reading comics. It's not that every movie's different, they have nothing to do with each other, which is what we were so used to. And then DC trying to replicate it when it wasn't their original idea is, I think, what caused a lot of issues.
And they forced the Justice League movie onto us too. Like, it didn't grow organically, and that just already makes it less rewatchable, because you know it's just what it is, right? It's just one thing. Yeah. Whereas the event were a culmination of a lot of great ideas that we were leading towards that,
but even
to begin with.
That, though,
right?
I also like gotta say, again with my opinion that like the DC movies kind of are disappointing, is that they took a bunch of characters that had like their own movies that were pretty disappointing and then put it all into one movie expecting it to be good. And I think instead it just like piled on all the disappointment of the other characters into one film.
Yeah, it is definitely a pile. But
a pile of disappointment. Sorry, DC. I love you for your comics. Together in the movies.
Is Feige going to be like when Bendis went to DC? I can see that in the future, because how synonymous he is with comic movies, he's just going to get traded like a player, as Dave said. Whenever his Marvel contract's up, he'll be at Warner Brothers and it'll be his take on the universe.
By film instead. And still work for Marvel.
He's in charge of the DC universe now.
I forgot Lucasfilm is after him bad for fixing Star Wars.
Abrams
is at the helm.
So Feige, I just looked up his net worth. He's a $200 million guy. So I don't think he's going to be.
I would have thought like.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think he's going anywhere.
I guess no, never mind. That's a lot of money. But I thought he got a bigger cut on those producer credits on the 20 top grossing films of the last 20 years or whatever. You know what I mean?
Well, I think that like they did a breakdown. I looked this guy up because I'm fascinated, because I'm like, where did this guy come from? But they did the calculation on how much money he makes, like as a wage. And he makes like $47 a minute. So
Jesus Christ,
that dude, they're going to keep him for sure. They know.
And he was around forever. Like, he was an associate producer for Avi Arad and, like, I think Tom DeSanto for the X-Men movies and Blades, or he was, like, the smaller guy that was always hanging out in the background.
What if he was,
that was a comic book
like,
fan?
Guys, I got the idea. It's this guy. He's a vampire hunter, and his name is Blade. It's great. We get Wesley Snipes. You guys. Do we know anybody that's great with dark stuff? Do you know? What about David S. Goyer? No, he did that Nick Fury thing. It sucked. Maybe this will rule.
Okay, so my knowledge is somewhat limited. I know that Snyder was in charge of the DC universe until that unfortunate tragedy struck, and then they were going to give it to like Matt Damon, and everyone was like, "What the fuck? Why are you doing that?" And then
No.
And then what happened?
Wanted Matt Damon to be in the Ben Affleck Batman movies as Commissioner Gordon, and in Justice League.
Sorry, not Matt Damon, fucking Ben Affleck.
Like, if Ben Affleck and Matt Damon were in a movie together like that, and they were like, we haven't worked together in a while, and then I realized, like, oh, fuck, it has been, like, 30 years since these dudes were last in a movie together, and I thought they was, like, thick as thieves, it'd be sick. But now we'll never see it.
Okay, so Ben Affleck was going to be put in charge, and then they were like, Ben Affleck's a groper, you're not in charge, you're out. You're not Batman anymore either. And then what happened after that?
JK,
do you guys
Commissioner Gordon? And then I lost all track of everything else because he never took his shirt off in the movie. I was like, "Why are you so strong? You ever see that?"
Jack, you like, the
arm band on.
So
just he looks like he's like about to audition for like old strongman on Game of Thrones, like Night's Watch Super Commander or something. Wow, that's a hot
so Jack
too. God, why am I bringing that up? Game of Thrones.
On Jack's question, Snyder was like the face of DC, but the people actually running it when Justice League was made was the guy who's still basically running it, one of the presidents of Warner Brothers. His name's Kevin Suahara, and he used to run it with Jeff Johns, and then this situation happened with Justice League and Johns stepped away, and now I believe it's Jim Lee that has that role. That's kind of the comic book creative that's involved with them. But do you guys remember when Steven Spielberg was going to direct a Blackhawks movie for DC Comics? What happened to that?
I think they took a poll of comic book fans and asked who remembered the Blackhawks, and they came back with like 8 people probably. And then they said, maybe we could get Spielberg on something else. And he was like, Black Ops are bust.
No, Black Ops are nothing. Yep,
that's and it. Jackson. They got Peter Jackson,
that's
too.
That's a great chance to be able to just do whatever the fuck you want to a comic book. Just by like grabbing one that no one remembers.
Yeah.
Like, that could have been a great opportunity to just make something like fucking.
You know what happened? Guardians of the Galaxy came out, I bet. And then they thought, well, it's going to look like we're ripping off Marvel. Let's put this on the back burner for a while. And then they forgot.
They rip off Marvel all the time anyway,
both,
though.
Both sides are ripping each other. I'm not saying
all the time. They both rip each other off all the time, is what I'm trying to say. Whenever one comic book or one of the big two does something, the other one does it too. Like, doesn't
what
matter
it
who did it first.
Seems like the thing that would have been Guardians-esque. Like,
they all respond to each other. Like Captain America is a response to Superman. Daredevil is a response to Batman. And then
like you got Green Arrow. We got the other guy with arrows.
I mean, Spider-Man heavily rips off Superman, which we don't talk about, even though it's completely different characters and he's a kid, but they both work at the paper. They both are photography students. They're both hiding their identity, but it's a spider.
Kills human and can die though, so
yeah,
that makes it better in my opinion.
Yeah, I think that the problem, like this is my problem with Marvel versus DC in cinema, is the characters don't feel human in DC because they are gods, right? They keep comparing them to, you know, the Greek gods, right? Well, that to me is that's one level of inaccessibility that I'm just like, I don't really care. I don't care about Superman, but I do care about people with problems. And it feels like everyone at Marvel has a drinking problem, or they're a kid trying to struggle in school, or whatever it is, right?
Yeah, they're all human.
Yeah, what they needed to do is, and they're gonna do it, I guess, is that Blue Beetle, right? I mean, like that is their Spider-Man. If they do it right, they're probably not gonna do it right. We can hope.
Okay, my only problem with the Marvel universe really is the fact that it's just so oversaturated. Like, it's hard to want to watch the new Marvel movie when it comes out, because I'm like, dude, I just watched one last month. Like,
they're all good.
Besides that, they're on it.
I still
haven't reached
the point of burnout yet. Like, I've been afraid of, like, eventually I'm just going to get to that point, where I'm just, like, sick of all these movies.
Well, quarantine, they haven't been putting anything out, so it's, like, been a nice refresher. And then I'm gonna be down to, like, watch a bunch of Marvel movies after, but, like, there was a while where I was like, Jesus, there's just so many coming out all the time. It's either Star Wars or Marvel, just always in the movie theater.
Yeah. Well, you know, the good news about the TV that they're doing too is they're all very, very different, right? So, like, whereas a lot of the movies are like Pixar, they're kind of similar. You know what I mean? Like, they do have a structure that they hit on almost every single movie, like Ant-Man, Captain America, all that good stuff. But like the TV shows are just way, way different, and you get to sit with the characters a bit longer, and it just feels good. Like, they should just stick to that. I would love a Marvel show that just goes and then replace it with another one and then keep going, roll it out like they did the movies. I would love that.
That would be great. I'd really enjoy that.
It feels even.
They put more like, I guess they're kind of doing it now, but if they just like put more, like time and love and money into some of them, like some of the early Marvel shows were kind of
Yeah. Well, the ABC the ABC shows are
Yeah, I mean, yeah, definitely.
Well, and Feige took over, so that like he took over the TV too. So because before that it was Jeff Loeb.
Jeff Loeb, right.
That must be why it's like getting
better.
Well, and it's nice now, like since Feige took over, like you were saying, Dave, is it now you feel like you know the characters more like you know them in the comics? Like the moments we get with Sam and Bucky are so nice with their families, or their therapist, or a guy he's taken out to eat, feed because he feels bad about something he did, which is awesome. Like,
we all know our favorite parts are like the Avengers movies, or when they're just like sitting playing pool or whatever. They're just like hanging out.
Oh man, like that the scene where they're sitting around and they're arguing on who could pick up Thor's hammer and Cap doesn't do it. You're just like, oh, that's gonna come back, and that's so awesome. And they played it out over years. You know, it's great.
It reminds me of like my favorite part of the old Spider-Man cartoons was like when Spider-Man was like up in the Statue of Liberty just playing cards with the other superheroes.
Yeah, I can't wait for Johnny Storm to get reintroduced so he and Spidey can hang out. It's going to be dope.
I'm the biggest Fantastic Four fan. I can't wait to see a film that's good. I mean, with John Watts doing it too, it's pretty exciting. He's definitely got his, you know, action and humor. He does that well together with the Spider-Man movies. I desperately want, you guys are talking about like other sides of characters. I want the series or movie that's like a hard-edged R, which is about when Hawkeye and Ant-Man go to a nightclub and get involved with Colombian cocaine dealers. And it's just like, it's like they don't have, he doesn't have his string shoot, Hawkeye doesn't have his bow and arrow, and they're just fighting all these drug dealers at night and trying to take down these coke lords. And it's just like a bad night out.
For a second, made me imagine the superheroes went bad and just started selling coke for the Colombian.
I think they
fucking just like Hawkeye, just like flipping bricks.
I mean, yeah, that did sound like it was culminating in a rated R joke where they're doing blow in the bathroom, and then, you know, they run afoul of the actual drug dealers.
The real heroes of the story. The actual,
you guys don't
get
paid enough to be superheroes.
Awesome. Oh man. Well, hey guys, I got to roll pretty quick. It's time for me to make some dinner. But this was a joy. Anytime you guys want me to read a book or recommend anything to me, please do, because I'll jump back on.
I do highly recommend Nightmare.
That sounds great. Manga,
we're doing a manga month.
Are you? Well, what are you doing? Do you have the list? Send me the list.
We're working on it.
How about you
send
me
the list? I'll send you the list.
Is there anything that
that's
you want to hype up or promote before you go?
Go out there and buy Jenny Zero number one. It comes out on the 5th. It's May 5th. It's pretty good.
It's awesome.
If you want to know more, we have a review about it also with Dwanch and McKinney.
Yeah. Yep. Support my boy McKinney. How about that? He needs your money.
What's your so on Twitter you're just at Dave Dwanch, right?
At Dave Dwanch, yeah, that's just me. And then my website, which is my Hannibal comic book, is mindpalacecomic.com. So you can check out
that book. Is so awesome. I can't wait. I backed with a broken cycle. Sorry, I can't wait for that print of Mind Palace. Yeah,
I'm waiting on it.
Are you getting a print? I thought it was just strictly online.
It is, but I'm giving away the trade paperback for free to anyone that backed my Kickstarter, and I'll probably do that for any Kickstarter I have, because I can't technically sell this book. I've been talking to and I don't want to like I don't want to jinx it, but I've been talking to Brian Fuller about him writing the foreword for the book. So I haven't sent it to the printer yet because I'm waiting to hear back from him, but he's working on something top secret right now, and he's on a deadline. So I'm like, well, when you can give me some free prose, please do. Talented bastard.
So awesome.
Episodes, he'll be ready.
Right. Yeah. I hope you like completed episode 3. I can now write.
Got
your
in
forward.
A fight with other producers, ready to write forward. Here you go.
Well, it's crazy though, because I like we run in the same circles. Like I know people that know him, and through the experience of making this book, we've had conversations, and I've sent him gifts, and he sent me gifts and stuff. So he's a really cool dude, man. He's a really nice guy. I don't know what the Brian Fuller curse is really, because to me he seems like a joyful, happy dude. You know what I mean? He's not like Whedon. Like Whedon failed upward somehow, and Fuller keeps putting out genius stuff. And
how does he keep failing upwards? It continues.
That's
HBO
show
is huge.
That's a whole other show.
Did you watch it?
No, I haven't seen it yet.
Oh fuck. Man. Yeah, I watched
it. Review we need right there. Oh fuck. That was all I needed.
Firefly was just so good that it doesn't matter how much shit he fucks up, he's still the Firefly guy.
I
what do you mean, the Buffy guy?
It's very
no, Jack. Jack, I retain your statement, Jack. It's
okay. Firefly is cool. It's cool.
Firefly's fucking sick. I've watched all of Buffy too. Jack, that was that Jack's was great. And the hot salad way. Today. But, Firefly.
I mean, yeah. I mean, you really are. You're divulging a lot today, brother. This stuff.
That's I have awesome. Opinions about things, and I'll state them.
Yeah, I would say you should watch the Nevers just to be like, oh wow, he really just Buffied the hell out of the X-Men in the Victorian age. And
I've never heard anything more weird, more weird description yeah. than that.
and there's like tits in it for no reason. I was all, oh, it's because he's on HBO. Like, and you never see the tits ever again. Like, it's just a girl laying in bed, and you're talking to like a main character, and she's just kind of like, you're like, oh, they're boobs. Why are there boobs here? And then they go away, and she's not even a character. And you're
probably
like,
the main character, I bet, was supposed to have tripped and fallen face first right into those exposed boobs. And they were like,
right,
hey, guys,
right.
And they're like, let's just, we're going to trim it real fast. Cut.
Yeah, check it out. I'd love to hear what you guys think of it.
We definitely sure. will. I'm going to check it out.
Yeah. Awesome. What is it? It's on HBO?
Yeah, it's called the Nevers. So
the Nethers?
The no. That's a whole nother show. The Nevers. Nevers. Yeah. And okay. Like, don't search. Don't search for it by looking for Joss Whedon. They buried his name in that thing, dude. They really are trying to distance themselves.
Well,
so.
Thanks for coming on,
yeah.
Dave.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Dave. You're the best.
All right, guys. Anytime, and I'll talk to you guys soon. Send me that list of manga. We'll see what I can do.
Yep, I'll send you like tomorrow.
Thanks for being
here.
Talking to you again, Dave.
Thanks for getting on the list.
Yeah, hell yeah. Thanks for having me, guys.
Always
yeah, we're on that watch list for sure. All right, brothers. I'll talk to you soon.
Talk to you soon.
Later.
All right, later days, Brother Arrow.
So it was great to have Dave Dwanch on for Terror Assaulter. Hopefully you all have been intrigued enough by our just ragtag description of this adrenaline-filled action epic that you check it out. You can either order it online, buy it digital, or pick it up from your LCS if they're cool enough to carry it. If they're brave enough, if you might say.
So, yeah, thanks again for listening to this episode with about Terror Assaulter with David Dwanch. I am Synesthetic. You can find me on Twitter at Synesthetics. All right, yeah. At @syn_aesthetics with an X. And where can we find you, Chaz?
You can find me on Twitter as well, at Chaz Simons. And Michael?
They can find me on Twitter at PoetAir33. And remember, folks, life is bigger. Chaz?
Turn the page and wash your hands. And follow us on Twitter at OutsideThe with a zero in front.
After so you wash your
all
hands.
The latest news and hits and stuff from us. Yeah. You know what? Wash your hands. It go follow us. Then go wash your hands again because you probably need to do it more often. Yeah. And then wash your hands.
Between each page turn. It's a highly collectible comic.
Squid music is the answer to all of life's mysteries.
It's hard not to like it. I mean, like, maybe the other outside the panels people from the Christian Comics website would have hated this book, but otherwise I want to see their review of this book. I want to see the comic crusader cape dudes like read this shit. All right, peace out, guys.